Food writer Jennifer McLagan has spent the last few years on a campaign of sorts, trying to win over home cooks to ingredients they might fear. She's written a cookbook on fat, on bones, and one titled Odd Bits, How to Cook the Rest of the Animal. Now at a time when arugula eater is practically a political slur, McLagan is back with a book of recipes aimed at rehabilitating the image of bitter greens. Actually, not just greens. McLagan's recipes highlight everything from grapefruit to beer and chocolate. Jennifer McLagan's book is called Bitter, A Taste of the World's Most Dangerous Flavor with Recipes.
Bitterness can indicate a poison or something that's toxic. So we're all programmed genetically to react negatively to bitter. But, you know, as we get older, we know, you know, like your first sip of coffee, oh, it's like so bitter. But as you get older, you get used to it. You try the coffee several times. It seems less bitter. And then, of course, coffee stimulates your nervous system. So you're prepared to, like, deal with the bitterness for the benefit.
And you use coffee in recipes here. One example is a recipe with pork chops and coffee. How does the bitterness of coffee work in food?
Well, the best thing about bitterness is it balances things that are rich. And, you know, if you have a good pork chop, and of course, being who I am, I buy a pork chop with a layer of fat on the edge of it. And so the bitterness of the coffee balances out the fat. It makes it a much more pleasant dish to eat. It kind of cuts through the richness and makes it balanced in the end.
So there are flavors we recognize, like coffee and chocolate that you use. And then there's stuff I've just never heard of. Like, what is a cardoon?
Cardoon is one of my favorite vegetables. It's an old vegetable, and I'm trying to rehabilitate it single-handedly. They grow them out in California. It's very popular in Italy, and it kind of looks like celery on steroids. It has big branches, and it's bitter.
They're not selling this for me, though, with the celery on steroids. I mean, celery to me is like the last thing left on the platter.
Yeah, celery's another thing that people dislike, too. But, you know, cardoons are more interesting. They have a slightly artichoke-y flavor. It's a fabulous plant to grow. It's beautiful silvery green leaves. I have one in my garden at the moment. But it's just a very interesting vegetable to eat. And so if you mix that with something rich like beef, it also works to balance the richness of a stew.
You also talk about the way bitter flavors are used in other regions of the world. You give the example of bitter melon. There's also recipes here that use medi. Can you describe what that is, where it comes from?
Yeah, it's actually fenugreek leaves. People might be familiar with the fenugreek seeds, and it's very popular in India. They often mix it with spinach to mellow out the bitterness, and I've got a recipe where there's eggs baked on the top, and so that richness and fattiness of the eggs also mellows out the bitterness of the medi. It's a very interesting dish, and perhaps a good introduction if you can find the medi leaves. It was very funny because when I was buying some in an Indian store, there were a group of gentlemen shopping, and they couldn't believe that I would like the bitterness of medi leaves. They thought that was something that only Indians would like. And there's cultures like the Indians, the Asians, and, of course, the Italians, who are big lovers of bitter lettuces and chicories and radicchios and, of course, amaros and bitter drinks like Campari.
Now, there were also some completely unexpected ingredients, which made me actually wonder about your definition of bitter.
Yes.
One of those was toast. There was actually a recipe for toast soup.
Ah, it's a fabulous soup. And it's interesting because people say to me, well, that's not bitter. But, you know, toast, if you make good toast, there should be just a little bit of blackening and burnt on it. And that's the bitterness. And that's what makes the soup delicious, but it also makes like a piece of toast and apricot jam delicious because you're balancing the sweetness of the jam with the bitterness of the toast.
You've just helped me win many arguments with my husband with that. I'm going to be going around saying, like, no, it's supposed to be that way on the edges.
No, but toast has to be toast. The problem sometimes toast is just warm bread. Then that's something to think about. Even on a dessert, like a pie or a pastry, you'll see that in Europe, especially in France. It's a little burnt edges around there, and people think that that's bad. But no, that's great because the sugar is caramelized and become burnt, and it kind of balances out the sweetness of the tart. Things don't have to be immediately bitter, but if there's a little bit of underlying bitterness in them, they taste much more interesting and complex.
I want you to talk a little bit more about the desserts, because there are lots of really kind of interesting things in the book, one of which is turnip ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
This one's for the kids in the car. We're going to say, Mom, don't get any ideas. Explain to me how this possibly works.
I like turnip. And I thought, you know, turnip is kind of a little bit bitter. So if I make an ice cream that won't be super sweet, it will be a perfect match with like caramelized apples or even something as an apple pie. There's something good about that vegetable creamy taste that goes perfectly with apples. So I would suggest if you made it, you would serve it with a nice apple pie.
Jennifer McLagan, you've had these books on fat and bones and now bitter. What's behind this interest in the ingredients that the rest of us are a little bit scared of?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little bit of a contrarian. But I write books that interest me. I like topics that I see that are not covered. And I like to write books that aren't just about recipes, that introduce people to something else, like the history and the background. You know, I think it's very interesting how we taste. And I've talked a lot in this book about how different things alter our perceptions of taste and how all of us have a different perception of bitter. And I think bitter is probably the most interesting taste because we will agree on it the least. You know, we'll all probably agree, yes, that's salty, that's sweet, that's sour, that has that savory taste, it's fatty. But, no, that's bitter. No, it isn't. Yes, it isn't. So maybe that'll open up the discussion and get people putting more bitter into their diet. And in the end, that'll be good for them because a lot of these bitter-flavored vegetables are very good for you.
Well, Jennifer McLagan, thanks so much for sharing your recipes with us.
My pleasure.
Food writer Jennifer McLagan, her latest book is called Bitter, A Taste of the World's Most Dangerous Flavor.